you'll increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Rob Artigo here, your guest host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm a writer and a private investigative consultant. Being invited back is always a great pleasure, Ray.
Rob, it's always good to talk to you on these podcasts. You're so, you know, cheerful and open in the way you discuss these. And so I always love to have your interview process with me.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these topics come from your musings and other writings from toughthingsfirst.com. You can find all that information there and read up on those. But I like to find these little nuggets in there. When I'm going to do a podcast with you, I'm inspired by those writings and I see, you know what? This deserves a little more attention than, you know, you bring it up and you make some good points, but now we can really delve into
discuss it a little bit more.
Yeah. So, a recent business-related news story predicted that China will exceed the U.S. economically within the next few years. And that's kind of mind-blowing because I think originally they were saying 2030, 2050, something like that. But what are some of the reasons for this economic shift?
The primary problem has been since the Great Depression, Great Recession, I should say,
right,
in 2008, the United States has not grown. In other words, our GDP has just been basically flat. And even down. And so while we're not growing, others are growing. So, you know, specifically China has benefited from our lack of growth. In 2003 or 2002-2003, the United States and for that matter, North America began to offload a lot of their manufacturing to other countries. And China was a major benefactor of that shift. And the reason that they offloaded the manufacturing was, you know, with that dot-com implosion, the manufacturers were just not doing well worldwide because of the costs of manufacturing in North America and in Europe, for that matter. So they, for whatever selfish reason we can think of, said, hey, you know, let's just shut down these factories. And let's move all this capability to other countries. And in our discussion today, primarily in China, because China is a huge country with a massive workforce. And they were more than happy to pick up our manufacturing, which, you know, if you look at the product costs, you know, probably at least half of the product cost for a North American company or European is in the manufacturing of the product itself. And so what we've done is we've virtually given away all that value to China. And then see, so just back up a minute. So for every person that's hired in a country, seven other people benefit from that. Whether it be the hairdresser, the grocery store, the home builder, or whoever's that consumer then purchases material from, or their goods and services, that is about seven people. So you can see how it amplifies. So for every one person that's employed and getting an income, they then help provide for seven others, and it's an amazing factor. And it's a multiplier effect. That's why in the U.S. we monitor unemployment, because it's so important. Because, you know, the higher the unemployment, that means there's just less money that's being then spent to those other seven individuals who benefit from that employment, individual's employment. You know, it's a multiplier effect, as I said. So if we're not growing, that means that we're not advancing those other seven people, then the country like China would, their employed individual then benefits seven people in their country. And so it's a, it really has been a phenomena that has concerned me, is that with that, with no growth in our country, and I think Trump ran on that fact that this massive recession that we've had, you know, it's lasted, you know, for, you know, 12 years, or more, or I should say 8 years, sorry,
right,
has resulted in us kind of going down. So going, making America great again is part and parcel to increasing job opportunities here in the U.S. and growing the U.S. economy. Not that, you know, we're saying, you know, that we wish China any bad luck in that respect. It's just that we need to start spreading that wealth, as they say, among our own people. And so the tax cuts that we have seen recently, the lowering of unemployment, and just the enthusiasm in general with the stock market now at all-time high, it just says that people are more enthusiastic, more energetic, and they're hiring like crazy. I was talking to someone yesterday, actually, who said they're having a hard time finding qualified people because, you know, the so many companies are growing and growing rapidly now, which is going to help our economy. They're now having a difficult time finding people to help them grow. So, you know, it's a catch-22 in a way, you know, which comes first. But these companies are growing and they're hiring people. And I'm predicting that the GDP will grow north of 3.5% over the next few years. And that's, you know, more than, it's like triple the growth that we've had in the last 8 years. So the fact that we focused on China was my primarily just to point out that when, while we weren't growing, they were growing, and now their economy, it could overtake ours in the next next few years. Doesn't have to happen, but it could. And I think that's the kind of the view of the of Wall Street now, is that our country is going to start growing again, and we will become great, and the employment's going to go up, and maybe China will not be able to overtake us now, at least if we can keep the growth at north of 3%. So that's what has to happen. But that was the purpose of my musing that I wrote a few weeks ago.
And of course, Trump had run on, you mentioned the platform Making America Competitive Again. I mean, he has his own slogan as well, Make America Great Again. But he was talking about making America competitive again. But I think about the idea of someday there, we look at the future and go, okay, China can surpass the American economy in the next few years. But does there come a point where there's an equity between the two countries and indeed much of the world where we go, American manufacturing will find a foothold again because it's not as economically beneficial to have something manufactured overseas?
You're talking about manufacturing in the U.S.
Yeah, right.
That will happen as companies see the benefit of manufacturing in the U.S., both in terms of tax holidays, you know, being able to repatriate tax or money back into the U.S. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Success breeds success, failure breeds failure. So, you know, this success will continue to grow as long as the economy remains robust, and they'll then see the value of bringing manufacturing back into to the U.S.
So it's not too late to think of a future where we have greater employment among the manufacturing trades around the country.
Absolutely, because that's, you know, we'll have more construction, home building, and more plant and equipment being built here, and so it's success breeds success, and so as long as we can grow as a country, a nation can grow north of 3.5%, we will remain strong and healthy. It's just when it drops below that, you'll see the other countries and catching up or going ahead.
Right, because it hadn't been anywhere near 3% for a long time. And there is a level, and I don't recall the exact level, but I've heard economists say there is a level of growth that we need just to maintain. And we were under that for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to look at inflation and look at other economic conflagrations that impact GDP. But certainly, just a hold, as you would not drop, means that other countries would have to also not grow. In other words, you know, so staying flat is relative to another parameter. So if we're not growing, somebody else is going to grow, and so it makes us look like we're going down. It's kind of like in a race, you know. If you're just running the race by yourself, it doesn't matter who the winner or the loser is. But you're not. You're running a race with a group of countries, and those countries are then affecting our level of growth. India now is expected to be number three in the world, and so you can see that they have been going nowhere for many years until recently that their economy has picked up dramatically, primarily due to electronics, software, and so forth. But you know, we're in a competitive contest with the rest of the world, and to stay even is not so easy anymore. Even to stay holding our own, as you would.
And I'd venture to say that advancement for China and India, and you've mentioned other countries, is a result of the way that America has done business, which is to be open and allow businesses to do business elsewhere and not be protectionist. And in that sense, that America has spread its economic
demise
across the world in boosting these places like India and like China, where they wouldn't have done it without Americans willing to take a chance on them.
Right. Well, again, our growth, our goal is to help make America great again. At least that's my goal.
Yeah.
Let's go America.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the conversation once again. I'm Rob Artigo. Ray Zinn invites you to check out toughthingsfirst.com, where you'll find links to his Facebook, LinkedIn, and his Twitter pages. You can also join the conversation there, chime in with your questions or requests, and learn about Ray's book, Tough Things First. And of course, Ray invites you to check in with him. And if you want to be a guest on Tough Things First podcast, you can tell Ray a little bit about yourself and where you come from and what you'd like to talk about, and we'll see if we can make arrangements to make that happen.
Yeah, we'd love to have other host podcasters. So just send us a note on social media, either Tough Things First or Twitter or LinkedIn, however you'd like to contact me, and we'll see what we can do to get you on.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.